This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. One American soldier is dead today, and two others have been left wounded following a rocket-propelled grenade attack on a military ambulance in Baghdad. U.S. officials say factions still loyal to Saddam Hussein are responsible now for a series of attacks on allied soldiers over the past few days. Members of the House Intelligence Committee continue their hearing today concerning pre-war intelligence assessments of Iraq's alleged weapons of mass destruction program, which, of course, the Bush administration used to bolster its case for invasion. Yesterday, panel chairman Porter Goss said the committee would be asking questions about how the, quote, intelligence picture on Iraq's weapons of mass destruction was assembled over time. The ranking Democrat on the committee, California Congresswoman Jane Harman, says she doesn't agree with suggestions the intelligence was actually fabricated, but she also says she does want to know if conclusions concerning Iraq's alleged weapons of mass destruction were based on circumstantial evidence or on real hard information. Secretary of State Colin Powell is still hoping to salvage the latest U.S.-backed Mideast peace plan when he visits the region tomorrow. He'll meet first with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and also Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. Abbas has been unable to get Palestinian militants to stop their attacks on Israelis. Rabba Muhanna, who is the leader of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, says the so-called roadmap for peace isn't in the Palestinians' best interests.
When we met Abbas, and he showed his ideas about roadmap, about Hudna, and about all issues. We presented our point of view that in principle, roadmap could never ever be the right way to end the occupation and have our rights.
Powell says he does, however, see signs of progress on a security agreement, at least for northern Gaza. His comments, though, came just hours after another Palestinian suicide bombing that killed a shop owner in northern Israel. Settlers also clashed with Israeli soldiers who were sent in to take down a settlement outpost in the West Bank.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
First-time unemployment claims fell more than expected last week, those claims falling to 421,000 for the week ending June 14th, down about 13,000 compared to the week before. Economists were predicting a drop of only about 8,000. More research is now suggesting elderly people who challenge themselves mentally can reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease and other dementia. Researchers say reading, doing crossword puzzles, playing an instrument, or simply playing board games can slash the risk by nearly two-thirds compared to people who don't challenge themselves mentally. Studies in the latest edition of the New England Journal of Medicine.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
The World Health Organization is now urging governments worldwide to pour more money into finding a vaccine for SARS. The recent outbreak of the disease is now thought to be contained, but more than 8,500 people were sickened and more than 800 killed. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The World Health Organization says the coronavirus that causes severe acute respiratory syndrome is mutating faster than previously thought. Scientists attending a conference in Singapore believe it could mutate into an even more dangerous virus, and that means the search for a vaccine is also more difficult. The WHO is concerned that now the number of SARS cases are decreasing. Pharmaceutical manufacturers may also feel the urgent need for a vaccine is disappearing. It's urging companies and governments to step up their research. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
And Max Factor Cosmetics heir and convicted rapist Andrew Luster is in FBI custody today in Mexico. He fled the country and was convicted in absentia in California for nearly 90 charges of rape and sexual assault. The FBI is now trying to get him back to the U.S. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program. Speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from west to east in the United States, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius radio satellite. Standard equipment on Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, and Infiniti and Jaguar cars. And streaming live on the internet from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Our question for this hour, should healthcare in America be entirely private or entirely public, or should it remain kind of half and half as it is now? It seems to be a growing consensus that as it is now is not how it should be. So what should we do with this system? Our quote for the day is from Thomas Jefferson in 1812. He said, "I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our moneyed corporations, which dare already to challenge our government to a trial of strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country." This was a remnant of his battles with Alexander Hamilton over the first bank of the United States. It's an interesting story. One perhaps for some other time. Our guest of this hour is Scott Holleran. He's a healthcare correspondent and commentator. Holleran was a campaign aide and congressional assistant to House Labor, Health, and Human Services and Education Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman Representative Don Porter, Republican of Illinois. And his articles have been published in the Wall Street Journal, the Silicon Valley Business Journal, Philadelphia Inquirer, and the Los Angeles Times. Mr. Holleran, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks, Tom.
Glad you could show up here. Sorry, I'm hearing a faint echo in my headphone, Char, if you can do something about that. Our question, should healthcare in America be entirely private or entirely public? The managed care medicine has mostly meant corporations figuring out ways to squeeze more money out of the system. Hang on just a second, Scott. Char, this echo is absolutely madly distracting. If you can fix that, talking to our board operator there in Detroit, Scott, give me a couple of quick points about why you think privatization is the solution to our problems.
Well, let me make a distinction. The managed care corporations, such as HMOs and even PPOs, are really not truly what I would call private medicine. Managed care organizations were essentially instituted and established by the federal government in an act called the HMO Act in 1973, which was proposed by of all people, Senator Ted Kennedy, one of the major opponents now, 30-some years later, of HMOs. He proposed that the federal government require every employer in the United States to offer at least one HMO. And that act was signed by President Nixon and became law. It took about 10 to 15 years before HMOs and PPOs really dominated the kind of benefits you get from your employer as an employee. Up until then, it was still pretty much private, really truly private medical care offered. So I just want to be clear that HMOs and PPOs were really instituted by the federal government as an alternative to that.
But that doesn't mean that they're necessarily good or bad. I mean, that's kind of a straw man argument, isn't it?
Well, I think it's an important distinction, though, because frequently HMOs are demonized by those on the left as a product of capitalism, when really they're essentially a product of those who advocated socialism.
They're private corporations, are they not?
Well, not in the purest sense, Tom, because they only exist due to government subsidies and regulations that require employers to offer them.
I think that we're traveling down a strange road here. Let's talk about insurance companies then. I don't have a PPO or an HMO. I deal with a private insurance company, and I can tell you I'm being screwed by these people.
Sure.
I mean, I think that a lot of Americans feel the same way. I lived in Germany for a year, and I had great health care. It was a single-payer system that was paid for by the German government and, by our tax dollars. Here's the essential question, Scott. How is it possible that if you've got a private corporation that has to pay dividends to its stockholders, has to pay chooses to pay its CEOs multi-million dollar salaries, as is the case with every one of the health insurance companies in the United States, chooses to pay millions of dollars to lobbying firms in Washington, D.C., and give millions of dollars to political candidates, that has corporate jets, that has fancy corporate headquarters, that has all of this overhead, that spends money on advertising and marketing and promotion, how can that corporation possibly provide health care at anything close to the cost of an institution that is created solely for the purpose of creating health care? Because these private corporations, their first purpose by law has to be to make a profit, not to provide health care.
Well, making money is not what's wrong with our health care system today. Doctors make money, insurance companies make money.
Wait a second. Making money or making a profit?
Or making a profit. The profit.
Let's make a distinction. I mean, when a doctor earns a salary, he's not making a profit. He's being paid for services. On the other hand, if you've got a corporation that says, okay, we'll deliver services to you, we're going to get this product from here to there, and by the way, we're going to skim 24% off the top, which is typically what corporations in the health insurance industry right now are taking out of health care compared to 3% of Medicaid, that's a completely different thing than making money.
Well,
earning money.
But it sort of gets back to the point that I was making earlier, which is a crucial distinction. It's not just some arcane, meaningless point. What you call it, health insurance companies today are really not offering insurance policies in a traditional sense. When you have an auto insurance policy, that is a policy underwritten by an insurance company, and you file a claim, and they review
it. But it's also required by government laws.
According to...
I can go to jail if I don't have car insurance.
And increasingly, that's becoming regulated, all the insurance industry.
Right, so it's no different than the PPOs.
It is different, because you don't go to file a claim for an oil change. So it's fundamentally different. But let me just finish that point, that really it's not an insurance contract you have typically with today's major health insurance companies. You're really paying for someone else to manage your care. When you have a PPO, and unfortunately many of the private policies you're referring to are having to mimic the practices of the dominant market forces like PPOs and HMOs, and you're really not filing a claim. You're having to seek permission from a managed care organization like a PPO or an HMO to obtain medical care. So it's not a true insurance contract. What I'm an advocate of is really a traditional indemnity, or what we used to call fee-for-service system, where you have a policy, preferably like a catastrophic policy with a high deductible, and you cover the basic medical care. You just have the insurance policy for a medical catastrophe. And then if something horrible happens, you're covered completely over the deductible.
Those are already available.
There aren't many of those policies available because managed care really has dominated the market. Most people have a fairly low deductible, $250 or $500.
But Scott, you're an advocate of the free market. Don't you think that if there was a demand for those kind of things that they'd exist?
But I'm saying there really can't be a demand because government has regulated the health insurance industry to such an extent as to make those indemnity policies
there
that
are no
go back 30 years impossible
Scott.
To survive in the market.
Scott, if you and I wanted to go into business promoting health insurance policies, we could do it tomorrow.
We wouldn't last long.
Because there's no demand for it.
No, because government regulations have made it impossible for an individual to purchase an insurance policy for him or herself as an individual. Let me give you an example. If you work for a major corporation, that corporation typically picks up the cost of your health care, or most of it. They get a complete tax deduction for the cost of your health care as an employee. If you go off on your own and open a gas station or a dry cleaning store, and you choose to purchase insurance as an individual, you don't get any such tax deduction.
Well,
so the whole tax code, that's just one example, but it's a big one, an important one.
No, I agree with you. I think it's obscene that corporations should get tax breaks that humans don't.
I think it's obscene
and then they claim
reason,
corporate
though,
personhood in the courts, saying that they have First Amendment rights to free speech and Fourth Amendment rights to privacy.
Let me just jump in, because that's a really important difference of opinion. I think it's obscene because it really penalizes the individual for seeking his own to be responsible for his own health care.
But the flip side of that, Scott, is that if you are offering tax breaks to individuals for insurance, then aren't you doing something that you folks who are advocates of Ayn Rand's objectivism would say is wrong, and that is offering a government subsidy for something?
I don't look at tax breaks as a government subsidy because it's the individual's money in the first place. I look at it as tax, if I can use the term in quotes, equity. It's just really treating the individual equal to how the rest of society is being treated and not penalizing the individual.
This is government involvement in the marketplace. Look at mortgages, for example. If we didn't have tax-deductible mortgages, we would have a very different world right now.
That's a whole different topic.
But any time the government decides to make something tax-deductible, for example, I remember back, 10, 12 years ago, I had a corporation in Atlanta, and we had some profit left over at the end of the year. My CPA came to me, and in fact, it was after the end, or just about to the end of the year, like a couple of days before, and he said, you've got to buy an SUV in the next 3 days, because I can't figure out how else we can strip $17,500 out of this thing. He said, if you can just give the money to the government as taxes, or you can buy a vehicle that weighs over 6,000 pounds. If it's under 6,000 pounds, you can only deduct $2,000, but if it's over 6,000 pounds, you can deduct $17,500. Now, this recent tax act raised that to $100,000. That created the SUV phenomena. SUVs came about as a result of government tax policy. I mean, as just one example.
That's a good point.
Tax policy changes, you create public policy.
That's a very good point. And look, I mean, there's no question we need tax reform, and we can dicker about this or tinker with that and say, for example, President Bush is giving everybody a child tax credit, and that raises interesting questions about our single individuals being penalized. But see, that's what government intervention in the economy always does, is it pits people against each other, and it distorts the market and gives unfair advantages to certain sectors of the economy. And there's no question that HMOs and TPOs were essentially created by the government, by Ted Kennedy and President Nixon with the HMO Act. And it led to a whole series.
Wait a second, Scott. They weren't created by the government, and an opening for them was created by the government.
Well,
these are private corporations.
Purposes,
the government doesn't create corporations. The federal government can't even acknowledge a corporation. Outside of Amtrak, Freddie Mac, and Fannie Mae, there are maybe four other federally chartered corporations.
You're splitting hairs, Tom.
Okay. If Scott, I would love to hear exactly how. Can you hang on during the break?
Sure.
Okay, great. We've got a commercial break coming up. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens, Good Day, from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 2 p.m. Then the Peter Werby Show turns up the heat a little bit from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145. Powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the i.e. America Radio Network.
Time will tell. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations. We have Scott Holleran on. Scott, let me know I'm pronouncing your name right.
You got it just right.
Okay, great. Scott is a healthcare correspondent and commentator. He was a campaign aide to Congressman John Porter, Republican of Illinois, and his writings have appeared in the Wall Street Journal, Philadelphia Inquirer, L.A. Times, Silicon Valley Business Journal, and others. Scott, is there a website where people can find more about your writings and your point of view?
Well, of course, anyone can go to AynRand.org, that's AynRand.org, for a lot of good ideas about capitalism and the healthcare reform issue in particular. And there's also a good resource called Americans for Free Choice in Medicine, the Patient Advocacy and Education Group, and that's www.af, like Frank, cm.org. And there's a lot of topical information there as well.
In fact, there's a piece that you wrote there called Bush's Medicare Plan is Hillary Clinton's Triumph.
That's right.
It's interesting. Scott, I'd like to get into some of the bigger picture things here with you, because I think that we've been focusing, as you pointed out, perhaps on minutia. And I think that the large issues are really worthy of exploration. You're familiar, I'm assuming, with the concept that one of the reasons why government was created in the United States was to administer the commons.
To administer the what?
The commons.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that and agree with that?
I understand it. I know that there's a lot of debate about the validity of that, and I don't agree with that. I think government's proper role is to protect American citizens, and I don't think that providing health care is one of the government's proper roles.
Right. Yeah, I understand you think that, but if the role of the government is to... Well, let's back up even a little bit from that. There are some things that you and I can privately own. We can, theoretically anyway, own our homes, although I would say that you can't actually own private property in the United States because of property taxes. But in any case, we can own. There are some things that we can own, and we can say, this is mine. And then there are other things that we can't own because they are ours collectively, we, the people of the United States. For example, we can't own our government. It is us. Like you could say we own it, but you can't cash out of it, right? Nobody can own our air. Used to be nobody could own our water. There have been times when nobody could own our electricity supplies or our telephone systems, although those have been privatized. To this day, nobody owns our streets, our public transportation systems, our public infrastructure.
And we see the results.
And what is that?
Well, I mean, they don't work very well, and they're not always. I don't think they're managed and maintained as well as they would be if they under a capitalist system.
Yeah, well, I've traveled all over the world, and I can tell you that our roads and infrastructure are in pretty good shape compared to the majority of countries. And there are a lot of countries that are laissez-faire to the extreme, and we call them third world nations in large part.
Oh, those are not laissez-faire. No way. They have no law and order in a lot of those countries. They have no system at all, and to the extent they do, many of them are dictatorships or run by despots.
So then to create law and order, there has to be a system.
Absolutely.
Of government.
Sure.
Which is administering the commons of law and order.
Well, a system of law and order. I mean, Ayn Rand was an advocate of capitalism as a social system. She didn't believe that we shouldn't have any government at all.
No, I understand. In fact, I would say that she reinvented the word capitalism. But Scott, we just have a short break here, and then on the other side of this, we can get into this in a little more detail.
Okay.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Rolling strikes of janitors have brought cleaning as usual in downtown Sacramento, California, to a halt. Nearly half of the 125 properties cleaned by members of Service Employees International Union Local 1877 have so far been targeted by the strikes, which began Tuesday night. Among the buildings going uncleaned in California's capital city is the Senator Hotel, home to the state Republican Party, the Los Angeles Times and San Francisco Chronicle state capitol bureaus, and many of the capitol's top lobbyists. Bill Camp is with the Sacramento Central Labor Council.
And it's wrong that the capital of the fifth largest economy in the world is having the buildings cleaned by people who make less than poverty wages and no family health care.
Talks broke down a week ago when employers offered the union a 20-cent raise over the next 4 years and family health benefits that would kick in only after 5 years of service.
It's an historic victory for Walmart workers. An administrative law judge with the National Labor Relations Board yesterday handed down the first ever decision forcing Walmart to recognize a union at a store in Jacksonville, Texas. Meat cutters in the store's deli section voted to join the United Food and Commercial Workers Union more than 3 years ago. After the vote, Walmart did away with custom cuts and only offered prepackaged meat, shifting the affected workers into new jobs and effectively doing away with all butcher positions. In his ruling, however, NLRB Judge Keltner Locke says Walmart violated the National Labor Relations Act by refusing to bargain with the workers during the transition. As a result, Walmart must restore the butcher positions in the Jacksonville store and begin bargaining with those workers on a first contract, which would include conditions under which their job duties may be changed.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werby, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werby, as we make plans to take back our country.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're talking with Scott Holleran of the Ayn Rand Institute, ayn rand.org. And Scott, let me just run a couple of things by you as a setup for this question. And I'll tell you, the question again is the same question I'd asked before, which is how can a corporation, should we be handling, should healthcare in America be entirely private or entirely public or something in between? Managed care in the United States, the government through Medicare pays typically between 2 and 3% for health services. When that same, so $100 going through the Medicare system, $2 to $3 ends up sticking to the fingers of the administration. When the same $100 goes through HMO, PPO, or private insurance companies, which are all private corporations, when it goes through those organizations, anywhere from $10 to $24 sticks to their fingers. Of the more than 100 cases where HMOs were penurious with patients in need of access to basic treatment like second opinion specialists and high-cost drugs, managed care executives have been lavish with the corporation's needs. For example, in the $9 billion merger of U.S. Healthcare and Aetna in 1996, U.S. Healthcare Chief Leonard Abramson himself took home more than $900 million just for himself. Now, in government, if somebody tried to take $900 million out of Medicare and put it in their own pocket, they'd be in jail the next day. That's money that is not available to pay for our health services. Yet this is what's happening in the private, in the corporate corporatization of medical care. The less doctors do for patients, the more they are paid, promoted, and lauded in these systems. Sick children suddenly become unacceptable liabilities if they do not meet the national cookie-cutter guidelines for hospital discharge 1 day after diabetic coma, 2 days after poliomyelitis, or excuse me, osteomyelitis, and 3 days after contracting bacterial meningitis. These guidelines were come up with by the company Milliman and Robertson in Seattle, and they said, quote, "We do not base our guidelines on any randomized clinical trials or other controlled studies, nor do we study outcomes before sharing the evidence of this." To just take this one step further, Dr. Linda Pino had testified back in the 90s that she, as a physician working for a health insurance, for an HMO, for Humana, had, quote, "caused the death of a man," end quote, by refusing, she says, the decision of the California patient. The California patient was made from the 23rd floor of a marble building in Louisville, Kentucky. The patient was a piece of computer paper, less than half full. The clinical goal was to figure out a way to avoid payment. The diagnosis was to deny. Once I stamped deny across his authorization form, this doctor says, his life's end was as certain as if I'd pulled the plug on a ventilator. She goes on to point out that that corporation had required their doctors to keep a, quote, minimum 10% denial rate, end quote. No medical basis, just got to be 10%. Goes on, Linda said that when Humana needed to balance its books because it was losing money in some markets and profiting in others, in order to get the overall numbers in line, they increased the denial rates for those markets where they were not doing well. Quote, so two people with the same condition, depending upon where they lived, would get two different determinations. In a Dateline NBC segment, there was a thing about a health insurance company that had caused a child to lose his hands and feet because of obstruction to care. And this just goes on and on and on and on. And we've got a situation here where, for example, Columbia HCA, the nation's largest hospital chain. Now, here we're talking about a private hospital. And in the 1950s, it was a crime for a hospital to be a for-profit corporation. They had to be nonprofit because they were serving companies. This company, a year before last, paid $840 million in criminal penalties for health care fraud. How can we turn over our health care to corporations that whose first mission is to make money, to show a profit, rather than to a government institution whose first purpose would be to provide health care?
Okay. First, I can't let your assertion that if Medicare took money, they'd be in jail. That's what Medicare does. Individuals have no choice but to pay into the Medicare system. That money is expropriated from every American to pay for Medicare.
So there are. So it's possible that there are individuals in Medicare.
That's what they do. That's the whole point of Medicare. You can't make it. You can't say that it's not true. But let's just stipulate something because you said a lot there. And I don't want to bore your listeners with facts and figures. And I don't have your facts and figures in front of me, so I can't dispute them or not. But I will say that if you're going to have basically unlimited health care for everybody over age 65 for 38 years, when life expectancy changes and evolves and improves, you have to stipulate, even if you're an advocate of total socialized medicine, that it's going to distort the market, that if you get free health care over age 65 or partly free health care over age 65, it's going to distort the market. So having said that...
Well, Scott, can I interrupt you there?
Well, no, let me just finish my point, please.
Okay.
Having said that, when you're talking about the nation's largest hospital chain and how much HMOs take away, I assert that HMOs and companies like Columbia and Tenet, the nation's second largest healthcare hospital company, they wouldn't even exist in the form in which they exist. They wouldn't be able to essentially ration healthcare for millions of Americans if it weren't for these distortions of the market in medicine. They're not real corporations in the purest sense. They're not real businesses because they exist through distortions in the tax code, which we discussed earlier. They exist through government subsidies, special programs, Medicare HMOs. Let's not forget about those. They exist by government favor, not through real authentic demand in the marketplace. So you might have thought that I would come on and defend HMOs. I won't. HMOs were, I've made the point before, basically created and instituted and encouraged by the federal government as a means of getting cost control, which was spiraling out of control because of Medicare.
Right. It was an attempt to turn to the private sector to solve
exactly
what was perceived to be a problem.
Only it was totally a fallacy to call it the private sector. And that's the bad rap that capitalism gets, is it gets blamed for HMOs and PPOs, which is kind of like blaming capitalism for Amtrak or the post office. They're not truly private, free market companies.
I don't think anybody's suggesting that they are, Scott. We're talking with Scott Halloran of the Ayn Rand Institute, Ayn Rand, AYNRAND.org. And Scott, you said that it would if we had full, let's say, single payer health insurance instead of socialized medicine. Let's look at the system that they have in
Call
Germany,
it what you
for
want.
Example. Yeah, well, there are significant differences. England's system is clearly socialized medicine, and it's melting down. Germany's system is clearly a single payer system, and it's working very well.
Well,
people are very happy with it.
Not according to now. I know you lived there for did you say 1 year?
I lived there for a year. I used their system.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can't comment on the system based on your experience for 1 year. I'm sure that it sounds like you were pleased with it, and that's
well, I have a whole bunch of friends. I mean, I'm there at least twice a year and have been for over 20 years, and I have a lot of people who live in Germany, and I've never heard anybody complain about their healthcare system. People love it.
Right. I mean, it's like anything. I mean, most people are generally healthy most of the time. Most of us are going to die of natural causes. And so, you know, whether people are happy with it, you know, taking polls about whether people are pleased with it, I'd like to see polls that are a little more scientific in terms of measuring of those who've used it or of those who've been sick, of those who've been seriously, catastrophically sick, how many of them are pleased with it? Because I think you'd find a completely different story. But, I mean, you mentioned Germany. You know, there's a German article that I came across that in which the author, and it was in, I think, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, the author was Christian Schubert, don't take my word for it. This was just a few years ago, and he described the fate of a 38-year-old reporter and father of two who suffered from coronary artery disease. He died while he was on the waiting list for 7 months for a life-saving coronary bypass operation. So, I mean, there are many different examples that when there's a catastrophic illness involved, single payer, whether in Canada or Germany, doesn't fit the bill. You always have these long waiting lists.
I'm sorry, Scott. I don't buy it. I was 3 years ago when I was in Germany. A friend of mine had a heart attack. And I mean, he was fixed instantly. One story from the last 5 years in the German press. I mean, we can do dueling anecdotes. Information isn't scientifically accurate.
Well, but
I think we can agree that most Americans would say that our system is broken.
There's no question about it, because ours is a hybrid. Ours is a mixture of socialism and capitalism. And wherever you come down, if you're an advocate of socialism, fine. At least, you know, that's at least an honest viewpoint. And if you're an advocate of capitalism like myself, you know, at least we're advocating pure economic, although polar opposite positions. But we agree. The current system we have is lousy. It's horrible. But, you know, you mentioned single payer. I mean, even in Canada, and this isn't an anecdote, where they have a single payer system, a so-called single payer. I call it socialized medicine. It's still the government-controlled health care. You have, I think, knee replacement surgery there is considered an elective.
Scott, let's just back away from the minutia of this, and I mean the reality is that in Canada they're providing health care services at 2/5 of the cost of the United States, and they have a higher standard of health, they have a longer lifespan, they have lower infant mortality than in the United States, and this is true of virtually all the nations that have single payer health care.
Well, I won't speak to the other nations. Let's just stick with Canada. I mean, it's like comparing a village in Nebraska with Manhattan. I mean, Canada doesn't have the huge immigration.
There's a lot more people in Canada than in Manhattan.
What's that?
There's a lot more people in Canada than in Manhattan. It's, what, 34 million people?
No, but I'm talking proportionately. There's a lot more people in the United States than there are in Canada. Okay, so let's bear that in mind when it comes to infant mortality.
Why does that make any difference?
Well, it makes a big difference when you have a constant stream of people coming from other countries throughout the world to the United States.
Canada actually has looser immigration requirements than the United States does. They have more immigrants than we do.
Well, but they don't have the disparate population and as diverse a population overall on such a wide scale. I mean,
so
we
you're
have
suggesting that it's a minority problem in the United States. Is that is this some kind of like a?
No, I'm saying people come here from other countries, and many of them get subsidized health care through various government programs. Here in California, we have Medi-Cal, which is our version of Medicaid for people who are illegal aliens. So it does skew the statistics. I mean, everything.
You know,
I find
those arguments, Scott. I'm sorry, but I hear those from the racist element on the right. Oh, it's about the Hispanics coming in, or oh, it's about poor blacks in the South or something. And those people who are having problems and causing a skewing of our infant mortality stats are a symptom of a problem. They're not the cause of the problem. That's blaming the victims. In my opinion. You still there, Scott?
I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. Feel free to respond.
I feel free to respond. I don't really have any comment on what you just said. I'm not a racist, and I'm not blaming the victim. I'm pointing out that actuarially, when you're evaluating, you brought up the cost of health care in Canada. When you're evaluating this infant mortality rates and different statistics, statistics can be used to mean anything that you're making an argument for, really.
My point was, if we had health care for all the people in the United States, well, okay, we're disagreeing about that. The number to be on the program today is 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937, and Philip in Florida has a comment or question. We're talking with Scott Halloran of IonRand.org.
Are you there?
Philip?
Hi,
yeah.
Philip. Yes. The host here indicated that salaries of the heads of these HMOs are making $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 a year.
Far more than that.
Okay, and more than that, maybe over $1 million a year.
This guy walked away with $900 million in his own pocket.
$900 million.
That's right.
Okay, my question to you, sir, is this: you have cardiac surgeons who are saving lives every day of the week.
Absolutely.
Okay, and actually, and doing the work, and maybe they make $150,000, $200,000 a year. And then the administrators are saving nobody's lives,
mm-hmm.
making 1,000 times that. If this isn't a distortion in the marketplace, I don't know what is. I think what people are feeling is that this kind of distortion is what angers people, in fundamental ways. The people who should be making $600,000, $700,000 a year are the cardiac surgeons. The people who are actually saving the work. I would bet you $5 that you could find people to run these HMOs for $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying
I bet
John
you people
Galtz
would line up around
the
block for a $200,000 a year job to run these things. Because
okay,
the reality is they're not doing much. They're not running it. They have managers that run it, and basically they're PR people.
That's right.
All right. Okay. We have Philip in Florida. Thank you for your comments. We've got a couple of other calls stacked up here. Scott, a quick response to that. Then we've got only about a minute and a half left in this segment.
I think Philip in Florida makes an excellent point that the doctor is the one performing the work, and nurses and respiratory therapists and all hospital professionals, the people doing the work should be the ones making the money, and capitalism is the way to achieve that.
Okay. Tim in Santa Fe, welcome to the program. Tim in Santa Fe? Maybe we've lost.
We lost him.
Okay. He's there. Tim, hop in quick. We got about 30 seconds here. You can make a point, and Scott can answer you after the break.
Hear me? Yeah, I'm wondering about your comments about the over 40 million plus people that are uninsured and how much that costs the taxpayers and everyone else that has insurance.
That's a Good question, Tim. I think it's important to remember when you're looking for, at the uninsured that, number one, I think the cause, again, is health insurance has become so expensive because managed care has distorted the market, and it prices younger people, especially younger people and single people, out of the market, where the young guy out of college just can't even afford a health insurance policy. The premiums are so high, especially
okay,
if he's not getting it through his employer.
Great, Scott. We'll wrap this up right after this break. If you can just hold on, Scott.
Sure, I'll just finish that thought later.
Yeah, thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We also have Paul from Asheville, and we're going to have about 3 minutes after this break, so stay with us.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home?
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well,
let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The following conversation is real. It took place on January 14th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar emergency.
Hi, yes, I just pulled over to the side of the road. I keep feeling like I'm passing out.
Okay, do you need emergency service
to
see a location?
Just for somebody to come and check me out.
Okay, let me ask you to hold for a moment while we get help on the line for you.
Providence 316.
Hi, my name is Gaith. I'm calling from OnStar. I have a subscriber calling in saying that she's feeling ill. And
in an emergency, OnStar can pinpoint your location and quickly call for help.
Would you like me to stay on the line until help arrives?
Yeah, I just got a little nervous because I feel myself dozing off again.
Right, understandably so.
If you're already an OnStar subscriber, it's easy to maintain the safety and security you already enjoy for only $16.95 a month. Simply press the blue OnStar button and tell the advisor you'd like to renew. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Is that them? Have they arrived now, Ms. Dora?
They have.
All right, thank you for using OnStar. Please know we're here whenever you need us.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Hi, this is Peter Werby from the IE America Radio Network, wondering whether you've heard about In These Times magazine, a biweekly magazine of news, politics, and culture, has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. Find out what you're missing. Visit them online at www.inthesetimes.com or call them toll-free at 1-800-827-0270.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried. Doug.
Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer at the briefing today.
The job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin?
Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty then.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Scott Halloran of the Ayn Rand Institute, AYNRAND.org. Ayn Rand, the author of Atlas Shrugged and other books that promote objectivism and what she called capitalism. I would say the dictionary argues with her. Scott, you wanted to finish that thought. We've got a couple callers backed up here. I'd like to get to Paul very quickly if you can.
Yeah, I just want to make the point that the term uninsured is really a fallacy. I mean, are you uninsured if you don't have renter's insurance renting your apartment? Are you uninsured if you don't want to own a homeowner's policy for your home? So bear that in mind too.
Well, I think the point that they're making is that we have rationing of health insurance in the United States right now.
Right.
It's rationed according to ability to pay. And those people who can't afford to buy health insurance don't have access to good health care. And by the way, in our chat room, we've got a Canadian in there who just wanted to share a couple stats. He or she said, since privatized health care was introduced in Alberta, the wait list for surgeries like knee replacement have tripled. Have increased by 2 to 3 times, depending on how close you live to the center. He says in Canada, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, New Brunswick, Newfoundland, and Nova Scotia have government-regulated auto insurance. Alberta, Ontario, and Quebec have had privatized auto insurance the longest. Auto insurance rates in these three privatized provinces are double that of the government-regulated provinces. What's wrong with government regulation? Scott?
Yeah? I'm sorry, are you asking me a question?
Yeah, I was. But let's go to Paul. We've got about a minute left here on the program. Paul, your comment from Asheville, North Carolina?
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for accepting my call. I used to be an objectivist in college, and once I got into, like, the workplace, I realized that capitalism works great as long as the customers have a choice. And when you're sick and you need health care, you don't have a choice. It's like I have a choice whether to drive my car. Now, the argument your guest was saying was that, well, in Canada they had to wait 7 months for a bypass.
Paul, I need you to wrap it up really quick here.
My brother had to wait about a whole year before he could find a job to get the health insurance he needed to take care of this massive lump that was in his neck.
Right, so that's the rationing that we've got here. Scott, your final word on this before we go. We got about 30 seconds. Scott,
yeah, the problem with his comment is that he starts with when you get sick, you have no choice. But you do have a choice. When you decide to not purchase a health insurance policy or of which health insurance company you go with, to the extent that the government allows you to have a choice, I'm saying let's have more choice by having more capitalism. Get government out of the medical profession completely.
Great, thanks. That's Scott Halloran of AynRand.org. And, Scott, I would say in response to that, I'm taking my prerogative of the last word here, if you don't have the money for that, you don't have a choice.
Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Secretary of State Colin Powell says he does believe there are still signs the so-called roadmap for peace in the Middle East is workable. While on a visit to Bangladesh today, Powell said he saw signs of progress between Israelis and Palestinians on a possible security agreement for northern Gaza. He also confirmed plans to visit Jerusalem along with the Palestinian territories tomorrow to try to advance the U.S.-backed peace proposal. He said it is his belief Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas is making progress in efforts to negotiate a ceasefire with both Hamas and several other militant groups. He, however, also condemned the latest suicide bombing last night at a grocery store in northern Israel that killed that shop's owner. The United States is now calling on the United Nations Security Council to push harder on North Korea to allow nuclear inspectors back into that country. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., John Negroponte, says he and other delegates are now reviving the idea of making a serious statement regarding the North Korean nuclear impasse.
A calling on North Korea to rejoin the international community in this area, place its facilities under safeguards, and cooperate with the International Atomic Energy and with its obligations under the Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Council sources say some junior diplomats from the United States, Great Britain, France, and Russia have already started informal meetings to discuss the possibility of making that statement. China, however, is not part of those meetings so far. Meanwhile, the IAEA is also warning Iran to be very cautious in the way it deals with nuclear issues. The agency is preparing actually to issue a statement as well regarding Iranian nuclear activities as it urges Iran to, quote, continue to be transparent about its nuclear projects. The IAEA also says Iran should abandon all objections to tougher inspections to prove to the world it's not developing nuclear weapons. The Iranian representative, though, told the agency there is no consensus if Iran should accept such inspections. He says only some countries favor them.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
A U.S. military ambulance was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade in southern Baghdad overnight, killing an American soldier and wounding two others. It's the third deadly ambush near the Iraqi capital in as many days. The attack came only hours after a mortar round hit an American military base in the town of Samarra. One Iraqi was killed and about a dozen others wounded. Some light may now be shed on the development of autism. Researchers say a child's inability to process the toxic metal mercury could lead to the incurable condition. The findings of the mercury and autism study are published in the latest edition of the journal New Scientist.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got her down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Leaders from the European Union are gathering in Greece this week for a summit focusing on two of Europe's most controversial issues, the EU's proposed new constitution and its asylum policies. Orban correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Security is tight in Greece with an unprecedented land, air and sea operation by security forces. And while the pressure increases outside the summit, inside, the leaders' debate is also expected to be heated. Former French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, who chaired a convention of delegates from all 15 EU countries and the 10 future member states, that drafted the EU constitution will present his proposals on Friday, while discussions on day one begin with British proposals to toughen up Europe's asylum policy. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And a congressional panel today is discussing a bill to ban people from suing fast food companies for obesity. Republican Representative Rick Keller of Florida wants to end what he calls frivolous lawsuits, which he says include a suit by overweight people blaming McDonald's for their weight problems. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags, all ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Day 91 of the search for weapons of mass deception, the tail end of George Bush's 2002 October surprise, when in September of 2002, he pushed through legislation empowering him to go after Iraq. The Democrats thought, whew, that topic is over, but Bush and Rove knew that they could divert attention away from the growing scandals, the corporate scandals and the scandals of the Bush administration, by simply fanning the flames of war, which they successfully did, and in the process won many seats in the House and Senate that they would not have otherwise won in the 2002 elections, and on it goes. Following up from our last hour, this is the Tom Hartman program, by the way, on the IE America Radio Network, and following up from the last hour, Bob in Oklahoma has been patiently waiting on the line. Bob, thank you very much for calling the program.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing good. Traveling through Oklahoma, listen to you on Sirius.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Hey, this guy, I mean, it just really, I'll tell you. You know, we had a great health care system in this country for a lot of years. And I had a good friend that's a doctor, and back in the 80s, something they brought in was the beginning of all this with the HMOs. They called DRGs, diagnosis-related groups. And he told me then, this is the beginning of the end. Because he said, this is taking the decisions out of the doctor's hands and putting them into the hands of bean counters.
Right.
And they want, what they're wanting to do is take off any regulation in this country on those people and on those insurance companies. and so they can sell you at the price they want to sell it to you, and then they can decide whether you get it or not. Your doctor doesn't have any control of the situation. The people who want to make money have control. So it's cheaper and easier to tell you, sorry, no, you can't have that.
Yeah, this is I agree with you, Bob, and thank you for calling. I appreciate your calling and your input. This is the great fallacy of objectivist philosophy. Ayn Rand was a child in Russia, and during the Bolshevik Revolution, her father lost his business to the Soviets. She came over to the United States and was basically on this rampage against what she perceived as socialism. And I think that being a new immigrant to the United States, somehow she never understood what the founders' vision of America was. And she simply saw everything in terms of this idealized capitalism where the capitalist could do no wrong. And John Galt is the you know, and what's his name, Garrett or Taggart, I forget, it's been years since I read the book. You know, the head capitalist who came up with this new steel and this engine and whatnot was just this brilliant guy. You know, the capitalists are always motivated by what's right because they're noble people. And anybody who seeks to take money from the wealthy and give it to the poor, to use her definition of it, is inherently destructive. Anyhow, it's Thursday afternoon. We want to get into some of the things that maybe you haven't been reading about in the mainstream press, the things that generally we don't find in the mainstream media for a whole variety of reasons.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync and think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Maybe. Phil Harvey has appeared on CNN and network TV. His written work has been in the New York Times and the Washington Post. And his latest book is Government Creep, What the Government is Doing That You Don't Know. Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program.
Thanks for having me.
I'm pleased to have you here. Tell me about this, you know, well, first of all, what is the government up to that we don't know about?
Well, the government is up to a whole lot of things, some of which we know about in part, and some of which most people really don't know about. I think most people are aware that there are dangerous incursions into our liberties under the USA Patriot Act, part of the war on terrorism. But I think not very many people understand that a great deal of the incursions into our civil liberties, whether it's the incarceration of suspects who may not even be accused of any wrongdoing, or whether it is supervision or snooping into the books that we take out of libraries or our email, a great deal of this is not making us any safer. And it seems to me that there is a burden of proof, if you will, on the government when it violates our civil liberties, that it should do so only in order to make us safer.
Phil, how are they tapping our phones? How are they snooping on our email? I mean, the way that this is portrayed in the media is sort of like, well, they've got these powers now, and maybe if anything ever bad happens, they'll be able to use them, or if bad guys are around, you know, you'd want them tracking them down, wouldn't you? How is it that people who are not even under suspicion are being listened in on?
Well, not only loosened in on, but incarcerated. I mean, the best example is a report that came right out of the DOJ's, that is the Department of Justice's own inspector general, involving 762 aliens who have been incarcerated for 4, 5, 6 months, many of them not allowed to contact a lawyer, many of them moved around the country so their families couldn't keep track of them, couldn't keep in touch with them, and many of them physically and verbally abused. These are people whose offense consisted of relatively minor immigration law violations.
But Phil, we're speaking with Philip Harvey, the author of Government Creep. And Philip, the way that Fox News would portray that is, well, they're immigrants. They don't quite count as much as the rest of us. Are you suggesting that American citizens who are not immigrants are also subject to government spying right now?
Well, certainly. And immigrants are not without rights. We are not a country that wants to treat foreigners like trash. We respect the rights of immigrants in this country. We are all, virtually all, descendants of immigrants. at one time or another, and while they may not enjoy all of the same constitutional protections of U.S. citizens, they certainly enjoy, should enjoy, some of them, and in any event, we want to behave like decent people. However,
we're setting an example for the world.
That is certainly true. Other kinds of snooping, however, very much applies to U.S. citizens. That is, the law permits the FBI to request and to get from libraries and from bookstores any information about anyone they suspect, and the librarian or the bookstore owner is not allowed to tell the person who's being investigated and is not allowed to tell anyone else. This may not seem like a huge incursion, but it is a very big nose under the tent, if you will, if the government has carte blanche to get those kinds of records about any of us for any reason on mere suspicion.
Right. Philip Harvey, the author of Government Creep. Philip, these are all things, I mean, everything, some of the folks in our chat room here which you can get to by going to tomhartmann.com and clicking on the radio show and then the chat room, are saying, well, we already know about this stuff. I mean, this is, Bernie Sanders has introduced a bill into Congress to stop this. What is there new that you're bringing to the table in your book? What is it that we don't know about?
The second headline
here is what your government is doing that you don't know about.
The second round, as I said initially, I think the fact that a great deal of these things, people know about the incursions into civil liberties. What they don't know is that these incursions are not making us any safer. Of the 762 aliens, for example, who were detained, put in jail, knocked around, only one has even been accused of having any involvement with terrorism of any kind. Now, if one out of 762 is the batting average of the DOJ up to this point, we're never going to solve this problem, because if you've got to put 761 people in jail for every one you're going to follow up on, we'll all be in jail before they get their job done. So my point is that one of the things we don't know and don't appreciate is that a great deal of what the DOJ is doing is not, in fact, making us one bit safer. Now,
okay, good point. Philip Harvey, the author of Government Creep. Phil, very quickly, is there a website where people can find more information about your book?
They can certainly get the book. The easiest way at the moment is at the Adam and Eve Company. That's 1-800-765-ADAM. It is not on a website. It will be next week, and I'm sorry I don't know the address.
Okay. 1-800-765-ADAM. Philip Harvey, the author of Government Creep, What Your Government Is Doing That You Don't Know About. Phil, thank you very much for being on the program today. I appreciate your dropping in.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay. Let's move along here. The cost of no health insurance. We were talking about health insurance in our last segment. And the U.S. economy, this from a study reported by Maggie Fox, health and science correspondent for Reuters, the U.S. economy loses between $65 and $130 billion every year when people without health insurance get sick and die early, according to a report released on Tuesday. It would cost less to simply insure the 41 million Americans who now lack health insurance, the report from the Institute of Medicine found. It would cost less. See, this was the point I was trying to make in the last segment, that in Canada, people and every other nation with single-payer health care, when people get preventative health care, they don't get as sick, they don't have catastrophic disasters, they don't end up in ERs seeking what should be primary health care, and you end up saving money. I mean, looking at it from a purely, hey, you know, it's all our money, selfish point of view, if we simply insured everybody, we would save money. I mean, that's been the experience of all these other countries. And here now, a good, solid scientific study has demonstrated this. And I quote, people without insurance wait until they are very ill to visit the doctor, then go straight to an ER. Their care costs much more than it would have if they had had preventative maintenance. And the big areas where this happens are with heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. They also talk about the impact on children, that children don't fulfill their academic potential if they're being pulled down by things like asthma or not showing up in school because they're ill or health care problems that are not being well treated. Ed from Chicago had sent us an email. He said, I felt like I stumbled making my point. I'm not used to being on the radio. He was on the program last, I think it was Monday. He said, during the Nixon administration, he was talking about the definition of the word liberal. He said, during the Nixon administration, the Republicans recognized that they needed a large block of voters that weren't rich bankers and industrialists to win presidential races. They went after the white Southern men who were angry about integration, about having their way of life changed. And so they didn't invent the term liberal, but they started using it to point to these folks. Liberals were the do-gooders who came from the North to tell you how you should live. Lee Atwater orchestrated this strategy, which eventually led to the Willie Horton ads. Lee admitted this and apologized for his actions on his deathbed. Thanks, Ed. Good point. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Let's hear it for Ed Rosenthal. He's a marijuana grower. But before you can say drug dealer, let me say that he grows his marijuana to be sold for medical purposes, supplying patients under doctor supervision and who need the medicine to treat severe and chronic pain, cancer-induced nausea, and other ailments. Providing medical marijuana for these patients, many of whom are terminally ill and have no other medicine to ease their agonies, is not only humane and medically sound, but it's also perfectly legal. In 1996, the people of California voted to okay this use of the cannabis plant. In 2001, however, George W. chose John Mad Dog Ashcroft to be the U.S. Attorney General. And this super pious right-wing extremist has zero respect for the will of the people. Asserting his personal bias over states' rights and democratic choice, the authoritarian Ashcroft is on a prosecutorial crusade against California and the eight other states that have passed medical marijuana laws. Saying that his views and the federal law preempt state law, Ashcroft's agents have been going after people like Rosenthal with a vengeance. In a perverse Orwellian twist of justice, the feds convicted Ed by refusing to allow him to tell jurors that he was operating within state law. Jurors later angrily said they would have acquitted him had they known this. Now the good news. Instead of 100 years in prison and a $4.5 million fine, as the absurd federal law allows, the judge only assessed a $1,000 fine and one day in prison for Ed. Rosenthal will now appeal this silly conviction itself, and his case has become a rallying point for all of us who think this federal law is an anti-American assault on our basic liberties. Yet Ashcroft is as arrogant and autocratic as ever. As one of his agents said of Ed and us supporters of common sense, we are not listening to them. This is Jim Hightower saying, and that's exactly what's wrong with national drug policy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America radio network. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting live from the studio of IE America radio in Detroit. And right now we're here broadcasting from the People's Republic of Vermont. A couple of more emails we got and some comments. The interesting stuff, some interesting things in the news as well. There's a lot going on. Has anybody considered, writes M. Lady, has anybody considered checking the guest list at the Bush fundraisers with membership or association with Carlyle Group? Bush served Carlyle from 1990 to 94. This is Junior, on the board of Cater Air. $4 million last night, 10 to go. Who pays his campaign transportation to the others? Is Air Force One used? Why should taxpayers underwrite his political campaign? Well, the political campaigning, you know, this is not all that different than what Bill Clinton did, I'm assuming. I think that there are some standards for this sort of thing. But I would suggest that the political campaign of George W. Bush is that we should really be looking at and saying, is this something we want to be paying for? Was in September of 2002 when George W. came along and said that there was this clear and present danger that there was something that we needed to do, that we had, that we were facing. Well, let him tell you. I mean,
Iraq has attempted to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons.
It turns out it wasn't true, and he knew it at the time.
If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
And we now know that he also knew at the time that that was not true. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. You know, I wanted to follow up a little bit about single payer. Both the state of Massachusetts and the state of Connecticut have done also studies on what it would what the benefits of single payer would be to each of these states. And it overwhelmingly would save the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars and would be very effective and cover the, you know, everybody in those entire states. The scientific evidence that this system would work is starting to mount unbelievably.
Oh, it's solid, Tim. They did a study here in Vermont as well last year. We had Deb Richter on the show a while ago, a physician here in Vermont, and she laid out the stats. And we, in the state of Vermont, and I think it's probably representative of any other state, we could ensure, if we got the health insurance companies, which are skimming 10 to 24% off the top, if we got them and the HMOs and PPOs, if we got them out of the way, and then doctors wouldn't have to spend three-quarters of their time or having a dedicated staff person or two to just filling out forms. We get them out of the way. We could insure every single person in Vermont, and we could insure them with 100% insurance with no deductibles, no copays, for less money than the people in the state of Vermont who are paying for insurance, people and employers, are paying right now.
So it's boiled down to me, there's, you know, two people that I would consider voting for president. One of them is Kucinich and the other one is Nader. Everybody else seems to be shying away from this topic as far as the Democrat is concerned. What is the deal? Are they thinking that, you know, that this slow creeping, you know, 15 years from now we'll have it kind of mentality is what we need? Are they afraid of being labeled some sort of, you know, progressive liberal that would actually cover people? I think it's a tremendous opportunity to reach millions of people out there who are seeing their private insurance increase 10, 15, 20% a year.
Right, so that the profits can go to the insurance companies. Tim, good point. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that. Russ in South Carolina made the point. He said, I get the feeling that you think Dennis Kucinich is too liberal or too left and will get clobbered by Republicans. Yours and other centrists' defeatist views on truly progressive candidates is depressing. Don't you want to really change America? We need to support progressive candidates to move the party over from the far right. We need an opposition party and not Republican light. Please support Kucinich. And then on the other hand, we've got an email from Claudia. I'll get to that after the break. We've got the music tells me we've got to stop here. We'll be back after the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Dozen new children's mystery books turn readers into environmental detectives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Kids often find lectures hard to swallow, but a good story works every time. That's the idea behind a new series of mystery novels by Gloria Skrzynski and Elaine Ferguson. National Geographic commissioned the books called Mysteries in Our National Parks. Each of the 12 stories is set in a different park, and each involves a threatened or endangered species. Skrzynski says young readers learn a lot about natural history, environmental problems, and survival tips wrapped in compelling mysteries.
That was the whole idea of putting these books together, to reach out and bring excitement into the stories, but also have them factually based. You want to entice the kids to read them and perhaps a little bit unconsciously absorb what the message is, to protect our public lands and be careful, particularly of the wildlife.
The mystery series revolves around the adventures of a fictional family that includes a 13-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl. Each story is based on a real event that happened in a particular park. For example, in Cliffhanger, a cougar has attacked a hiker in Mesa Verde National Park. The family tries to figure out why the animal had lost its natural fear of humans. The story also probes the disappearance of an ancient Hopi Indian culture. Skrzynski says she and Ferguson interviewed naturalists, rangers, and police to develop each story, and she says they came to appreciate the diverse beauty of America's parks. The Mysteries in the National Parks, the first fiction ever published by National Geographic, are designed for kids between 8 and 13. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Just to wrap this up, we had somebody who had sent us an email. The first one was about let's support Kucinich. The second one says, okay, so I went ahead and listened to 3 hours of hate radio. I need a shower now. And they are telling the Freepers, not sure what that means, to go to moveon.org and vote for Howard Dean as their way to destroy the Democratic Party. This apparently is, Rush and Sean and bunch. They see Howard as the most radical with a chance to help them aid in the destruction of the Democratic Party. Point is, boy, are these guys sick or what? Oh, and yes, they are worried about increasingly going to hell in a handbasket situation in Iraq, and no mention of the hearings. They are trying to sweep it under the rug. Our right-wing radio alert, apparently. Interesting stuff. One other just quickie here. Israel, this is in today's Israel Nation News. Israel is going to build the world's largest solar power plant. This thing is going to, they're going to have it done by 2012. It'll produce 5% of the country's energy, 500 million watts of electricity. And that's pretty mind-boggling. The company that's doing it has actually built numerous power plants here in the United States. In our chat room, go to tomhartman.com, click on the radio show, click on the chat button, and it'll take you to the trade form. Click on the chat button. One of our folks in the chat room has said that there is a report out today that Ralph Nader is thinking of running against George Bush in the Republican primaries as a Republican. A hoax? I think this is a hoax, folks. But wouldn't that be strange? Wouldn't that be very strange? How corporate power steals your personal freedom. We were talking about the corporate theft of freedoms in our first hour with our guest who was advocating privatization of all health care and insurance programs. And I was quoting from a book in rebuttal to him from a book by Jamie Court titled Corporateering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom. Jamie Court is the executive director of the Santa Monica-based Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Court is an award-winning and nationally recognized consumer advocate, and his new book is Corporateering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom and What You Can Do About It. Jamie Court, welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program.
It's my pleasure.
Glad to have you here. Jamie, to start off, The folks on the right say corporate power is a non-issue. It's all about the free market. It's about free enterprise. This is freedom in America. Why are you socialists trying to meddle in private business?
Well, corporations steal a lot more than our money these days, and the idea of the book is to try to focus on the corporation's cultural power. And ironically, a lot of the conservatives they don't agree with the words we use, but they may just agree with some of the concepts. For instance, 9 out of 10 Americans hate that corporations buy and sell our personal, financial, and medical information without our permission, no matter what side of the aisle you are, and you hate it. People don't like their children.
But the Republicans voted to allow that. I mean, there was
well,
there was
the Republican
a big debate
politicians
about that.
Voted to allow it, but do the Republican voters like it? That's the question. And why aren't we digging into their base on issues like this?
For sure.
Children, we're increasingly marketed in school without their parents' consent. 9 out of 10 Americans don't like that. There are some other issues like our right to trial. 7th Amendment of the Constitution is waived routinely in favor of mandatory arbitration just to buy health care, rent a car, get a credit card in any state. That's the 7th Amendment of the Constitution. So we're asked to give up these freedoms routinely, and it's, in my view, something that's really accelerated during the last 20, 25 years, what we call the age of the corporateer. The idea of the book is to show how and why it happened and how and why it's accelerated and how we can turn back the clock.
Okay, Jamie, how and why did it happen?
Well, in the 70s, when we first had these transnational corporations growing up, there was a lot of reforms that were successful by consumer environmental reformers in Washington. There was a lot of criticism from the media. And in the book, I actually get a 1971 Chamber of Commerce memo written by, before he was a Supreme Court Justice, Lewis Powell. He was a corporate lawyer at the time, and he worked for Philip Morris and other companies. And he basically wrote a memo to the chamber at their request saying, look, we're getting our butts kicked everywhere, Washington, the media. We got to take power back. And he was talking about cultural power, and he said, this is what we've got to do. Business has to get together. The chamber's got to be a center of that. And what we've got to do is start getting our scholars on campuses and rooting out the scholars who are so harsh on business, because on the campuses, that's where they're raising the leaders of tomorrow. And we don't want tomorrow's generations of politicians being anti-corporate. We want them to be pro-business. Mm-hmm. We've got to get aggressive in politics as a chamber. We've got to start spending on politicians we care about and taking out politicians we don't like. And some of the language is remarkable for people who live in this age, because it actually talks about how the executive is the forgotten man in Washington today, and we know how that's changed in the last 30 years. Talks about expanding legal freedoms through the courts, which, of course, he did when he became a Supreme Court justice and started giving corporations constitutional protections of the full Bill of Rights. Talks about using the power of corporations as advertisers and owners of the media to limit criticism of corporations. He actually says we have to start monitoring the media the way we do textbooks for anti-corporate material. So there was a real attempt here to change culture. And it took 10 years probably to take hold. But by the 80s, there were a lot of think tanks and publishing houses and legal think tanks and aggressive trade groups and PACs.
Reagan,
and they were all doing
it. Trotted these guys into Washington, D.C. and just blew the whole thing wide open.
Exactly.
This was the Reagan Revolution.
Exactly. But there was a whole sort of ideological buildup to the Reagan Revolution that gave him the sort of cultural power to dismantle the regulatory structure. And if you think about it, in the book, I actually talk about how, in some ways, you know, Clinton's era was seized on, you know, the greater sort of cultural support for the corporation and for being pro-business, and you know,
Clinton shoved NAFTA and GATT down the throats of the legislators. I mean, he worked on that so hard to get those things published, NAFTA and GATT, and the Telecommunications Act of '96. I mean,
exactly, and the fall of barriers between banks and insurance companies, and these were all, you know. So my point in the book is, you know, we've got to look at the cultural assumptions we have there about how corporations put themselves above the individual and society. And the focus of corporateering is how corporations change social mores, the rule of law, and ethical custom to their advantage and the individual's disadvantage, how we lose our freedoms. And I know that hasn't been a popular way of sort of talking about this, but I think to the degree that we point to issues like privacy, the loss of freedom there, legal recourse, the loss of freedom, these are issues that do cut across both sides of the aisle.
It's about 19 minutes before the hour, where you're listening to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America radio network. We're speaking with Jamie Court, the author of Corporateering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom and What You Can Do About It. Jamie, I, in the course of the perhaps far too many years of my life, I've rarely encountered anybody who actually thought they were doing things that were bad or evil or harmful. And I've known some nasty folks, and certainly folks at the very top of some very large corporations. What was Powell thinking? What kind of worldview was he reflecting? What is the story that these guys tell themselves when they say, you know, we the who are beholden to a representative of these large corporations have to take cultural power in America? I mean, why? What's driving that mentality?
Well, it's part of it's just money and brute force, but there is this sort of this logic that floats in our society that I try to dismantle, that the free market is the same as a free society, that that corporations are the engine of efficiency. We saw how efficient Enron and
it's a religion.
Others are, but it's a myth. And it's driving us to believe that corporations are the answer to all our prayers. It drives privatization, deregulation, but it also drives people to not see the corporation as an entity, an institution that is dedicated to maximizing profit without regard for social cost.
Well, and in fact, it's legally mandated to do that.
Exactly. And yet we have $1 trillion worth of marketing a year by U.S. corporations that's designed to tell us corporations share our human values. You know, Avis is trying harder. GE is bringing good things to life and is imagination at work. State Farm's your neighbor. And then when we're lowballed on an insurance claim by State Farm, it often comes as a surprise. But these messages, as insipid as they are on TV, they have an impact. In fact, there's a Harvard researcher that actually found that Americans do equate the names of certain corporations with human values that are promoted through the marketing messages. So, like, AT&T is considered mother. Apple is considered close friend. So subconsciously, these do take a toll, even on the most critical of us. And then we're surprised when AT&T and misbills us, or AT&T is involved in a scandal. It's happening on a lot of levels that Americans don't see, and I guess what corporateering tries to do is turn back the invisible hand, pull back the curtain, and then give people a way to use a word. Corporateering, when corporations are inappropriately intruding in our lives, it's a word I want to start, because we don't have a way of branding bad corporate behavior. Today, you're
so
either
Jamie
for
Cord here, you're creating a new meme, a new thought virus for us to share. Corporateering, corporations stealing your personal freedom and what you can do about it. Jamie, what can we do about it?
Well, we've got to start looking at the institution and its influence over society. We've done some interesting things here out in California. We need to start holding corporations accountable to social mores and new rules of law and ethical customs. So, for instance, we have a three strikes legislation out here that's having trouble, but we may actually go to our ballot initiative process. And it basically means that if a corporation has three felony convictions, they lose their life, or they lose their
societal.
What's the
status of that? I've heard that law is moving through the legislature, but it's what's going on with that? And
it moved through the Senate, and it's stuck because some liberal Democrats can't imagine taking the corporation's life. What happens to jobs? It runs into that logic. And there are some of us who are now talking about an omnibus corporate reform for our ballot initiative process, which will probably take a couple of years, but we've done a few ballot initiatives out here that were successful, including a big insurance reform in 1988 that overhauled the whole insurance industry. So it can happen if the people look at it directly. We've got some other bills that are going to probably get signed this year on whistleblower protection. We need to create also possibilities for the dissenters within corporations to speak up about the problems. That's where we get most of our good information. So we're creating a big 1-800 hotline within the Attorney General's office out here in California to create whistleblower protection, also creating fines, big steep fines for whistleblowers who for retaliation against whistleblowers by corporations and for executives who retaliate against whistleblowers. I think on a larger level, though, most of these battles are fought on issues. And let me share a personal experience. We had some financial privacy legislation out here to require simple written consent before banks and credit cards and insurers share your information. And so the bill, which had been trying for 4 years, finally got the governor's support for it. And yet we can't get out of one of our houses, a Democratic House of the Assembly, the Banking Committee. So after the bill fails, I release the first four digits of the Social Security numbers of Banking Committee members vote against the bill, showing how easy this information is. For $26 on the Internet, I bought it. And now they're trying to prosecute me in today's papers for intimidating them. And I said, boy, they're really not too worked up about these corporations that are selling me this information for $26. And they're not too worked up about the fact that identity theft victims have all their Social Security numbers out there. I just put the first four digits, but they're obviously getting the message when it gets personal. And
they're actually seriously prosecuting you, or they're talking?
They're talking about it. They're having the state investigate whether it's intimidation because I'm trying to influence a vote, and they don't really have anything. But the point is, it's. They get real worked up when suddenly it's about them and their private information and how freely it's available, rather
but
than
when it's
about
ours.
Someone else's.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jamie Cord, the author of Profiteering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom and What You Can Do About It. Jamie, you mentioned the things that are happening in California. They're certainly not happening all over the United States. I mean, a lot of states have basically right-wingers who are running things that are going on. What's going to happen in California with these initiatives? And just very briefly, because this is kind of a digression, I want to get back to what individuals can do. But what's going to happen in California if Gray Davis gets recalled and Arnold Schwarzenegger becomes your governor?
I think our privacy and everything else will suffer, but I don't think he's going to survive the rough and tumble of the process. I'm not sure Davis will, but I don't think Arnold Schwarzenegger will.
Or some other right winger.
Well, it does shake things up, though. I got to tell you, when you have a recall process, it at least makes politicians think. So, for instance, we have some leverage on getting the governor to sign some decent bills this year because he's worried about how he's going to look at the ballot box. But I think it's going to get worse. Although I'm not too happy with the way corporations have co-opted. Corporateers in our legislature and the Democratic side of the aisle either. I mean, that's why it's really about assumptions. You got to remember, when we had our electric crisis out here in California, it was a result of deregulation. every
right, it was an Enron-caused crisis.
Right, but every politician, it was a unanimous vote of all the politicians to support electricity deregulation. And in the book, I actually have a recalling of what that crisis was like, because we successfully fought off a legislative bailout of our utilities in that crisis. But the point is that even the Democrats believe that the free market does it better on something like electricity or health care, you know, where these are vital necessities
of life,
and turn them over to for-profit corporations. It's corporateering.
Right. This religion has become pervasive. Corporateering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom, by Jamie Quart. Jamie, we have Stan in Birmingham, Alabama, on the line. Stan, welcome to the Tom Hartman radio program. We've got about a minute left in this segment, Stan. Oh, he wants to be on after the... Stan, say your piece here right now, because we're going to wrap this up.
Just want to say the Patriot Act and other invasions are the advanced police action to force America to accept the global economy. The global economic forces know that the global economy will ultimately create a dislocation via the global economy. So in the not-too-distant future, when hard-working mom-and-pop stores finally realize the multinationals are about to eat them alive, the multinational corporations will then have a highly evolved Patriot Act III. All American small business, trade unions, and average people who then resist the 666 corporate giants will then be mowed down at their own taxpayer expense, courtesy Patriot Act. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Stan. I appreciate your comment. And Jamie, we're going to a commercial break right now, but we'll be back in about 4 minutes, and then I'd like to hear very quickly, because in our last segment we only have about 2.5 minutes, I'd like to hear from you specifically what individuals like you and I can do if we think that a corporation is not treating us right. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Daddy, can't we read a different book tonight?
Shh. We're just getting to the good part. To set the correct throttle position, loosen the pinch bolt to rotate the governor arm.
Have a passion for fixing things? Sears has over 4.5 million parts for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME. Click on Sears.com or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find parts for all major brands, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Where else?
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief. Better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
See,
the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Worre Show.
Doug's in Santa Fe listening to KTRC.
Isn't it good that the people that are in power can always contradict themselves?
Yeah, did
you? Prostitution wasn't legal in Iraq, but yet Saddam Hussein had a series of concubines, one of which our CIA and federal government was getting information on him prior to the war.
Right. Turned out he uses Viagra. But so does Bob Dole. But so does Bob Dole. And thank you for Viagra. How many people are getting to go to Viagra Falls these days that previously couldn't? So it's a good thing.
Did you know this? That Saddam also wrote romance novels, writes them, writes plays and things like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and he likes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He takes Viagra, puts on the Frank Sinatra tunes, and off he goes.
The Peter Worre Show, weekdays from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Jamie Court, author of Corporateering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom and What You Can Do About It. Jamie, in your book you say that it is possible to change a corporate contract. If somebody hands you a contract and says, here, sign this, you can read the thing and mark out the things you don't like. Is that true?
Well, you can certainly try. Happens. I do.
I've had them thrown right back at me when I do
sometimes,
that. I did that with my bank once.
20-25% of the time I get them through. Depends what type
really?
Of contract. You know, if someone wants to sell you a car, you probably can do it because the salesman's going to let it happen. If it's health insurance and you want to cross out something, sometimes the company catches it. But we've had some success, and it doesn't hurt to try to negotiate. The point is we shouldn't be taking these on the corporation's terms. We should try to fight back.
Tell us about opting out, private financial information.
Well, today you do have the right to opt out, which means you can explicitly contact every company that has your financial information and tell them you don't want it sold beyond the company's borders or its affiliate borders. And
on
the back
like
of the book,
credit card companies.
Yeah, credit card insurers, banks. You got to contact everyone. That's what's so difficult about the law. But one thing you can do is send each a letter. Look in the fine print. Sometimes they have phone calls, but they make you feel guilty, like you're going to lose discounts. At corporateering.org, we have a sample of that letter that you can use to
Great.
Tell your financial institutions you don't want to have your information shared by them.
Okay, and it's also in the book, I assume.
Yeah, it's in the back of the book, too, a little more extensive letter.
And you can also, you've got these do not call laws. Are those federal or are they state by state?
State by state, if you want to stop telemarketers, you can enroll in your state do not call list. However, what you can do if a telemarketer calls you today anywhere in the country is tell them do not call. You can also say stop corporateering. To spread the word, but do not call. And then the next time that same company calls back, they owe you $500. And at corporateering.org, you got a little information.
How do you collect it?
You have to send a demand letter that we have on the internet that you can use. And
so all this stuff is at corporateering.org.
.org.
The home website for the Corporateering book by Jamie Court. A whole lot of very interesting things here. Jamie, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you showing up. Thanks for joining us. And this is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Just one last thing here, an email. We got an email from somebody who says, as for definitions of the word liberal and conservative, this is from J.D. in Sherman. He says, I generally subscribe to the classical definitions of the ones found in Webster's. goes on a little lot. I want to have to check out Webster's on this. We'll see what they have to say. This is the Tom Hartman Program. You've been listening. Thank you very much for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow, same time, same place.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more.